When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get half gallons of delicious Kroger milk for $1.29 each. Then get flavorful Tyson Natural Boneless Chicken Breasts for $2.49 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Blue Kool-Aid drinkers, Big Z here. Oh boy. Talk about the worst game any Lions fan has seen in a long time, and that includes the 0-16 season. We'll be talking about that, the future of Patricia, Bob Quinn, Stafford, all that covered here on Drinking the Blue Kool-Aid with the Blue Kool-Aid crew. So if you have any left, grab your Kool-Aid. It's time for the pod. This is Drinking the Blue Kool-Aid, a Detroit Lions podcast hosted by lifelong Lions fans. UJ.
It seems apparent to me that the most intellectual football fans tend to be Lions fans.
Bob.
Stafford is the best quarterback in football. Remember what you saw here. Tell your grandkids. Don't forget.
Red Dog.
I believe we're on the precipice of a new era of Detroit Lions football dominance.
Connor.
Patricia looks like Violet Beauregard from Willy Wonka out there. An absolute blueberry on the sideline.
And I'm your host, Big Z. The media knows nothing. The Detroit Lions 2021 Super Bowl champs. We can't wait for this upcoming season. Relax, it's time for the pod. Blue Kool-Aid drinkers, we are back recording on November 23rd, just a few days before Thanksgiving. And we are gathered here, I'm Big Z, gathered here with the rest of the Blue Kool-Aid crew. Let's go around really quick. So we got UJ.
Hello.
Bob.
Hello.
And Red Dog.
Yo.
And we gather here today to go over possibly the last or the end of the Patricia era in Detroit, as this is just one of the worst Lions performances you'll ever see. And that includes anything from the 0-16 season. Talk about a team that's going in the wrong direction in the third year of a head coach. Lions lose 20-0, 22-0. Their first shutout, I think, since 09. In Detroit. And just an atrocious game. Less than 200 yards of offense. We make fun of the Bears offense. I was telling my Bears fans, like, I finally know what it feels like to be a Bears fan this season, watching such a putrid offensive performance. And hard to believe that with Stafford and everything. I mean, UJ, Bob, I want to go to you two just because you've been watching a little longer than me and Rud Dog. Rank in the top of worst Lions games you've ever watched?
I'd say just by my personal feeling, this feels about as low as I've ever felt. And I was around for 0-16. I watched every game of that season. This one just really hurts because we were expecting so much more out of this team. And like last week, we weren't fooled by that. You know, they beat the Redskins, but they should have probably lost that one too. But we weren't fooled. They came into Carolina and just laid down one of the worst, most gutless, heartless performances I've ever witnessed on a football field. It was absolutely horrible. And not only that, they kept doing the same things that everyone's been watching for weeks, playing Adrian Peterson, running him up the middle time and time again. It's just like, this is insanity. This is utter insanity. They're so clueless. I don't even know. I don't even know where to go.
I agree, UJ. This is a really bad one. I mean, I know we were shorthanded and everything, but the Panthers aren't that good a team. And we were getting beat like off the line. Like the push that they got on us on every play was ridiculous. I mean, and this is a team that was on their heels. The Panthers were, and but they just schooled us, man. It looked bad. Stafford looked out of sync. His receivers, I know, Cephas, that was his day to step up, right?
Yeah.
he still looks like a dog, but it's not him. I'm just saying it's the whole team was terrible.
The play calling. I mean, how many passes didn't go more than 2 yards down the field, you know, or at the line of scrimmage? They just kept throwing these little dump passes. We're going backwards here, folks.
Yeah, and when they're punting when they should just be going for it on fourth. I mean, the way that the game was going was ridiculous.
You could point to any point in this game, but did not go well for Lions for the most part, except for a couple interceptions in the red zone. This easily could have been a 34-0 score or 26-0, except for those two interceptions.
We could honestly say we got a complete game out of the Lions, a complete in every phase of the game, horrible. Like the special teams weren't good. Prater misses another one. Inexplicably, just ridiculous. I mean, the offense is bad. The defense is bad. It was a complete game. In the most negative way you can put that.
Yeah. Pretty much.
There was only one player I thought that stood out for the Lions. That was Imani Awori, actually. He graded out as a top cornerback in the NFL this week. He only allowed three yards all game, had a pick, didn't miss any, had four tackles, didn't miss any. He was the only positive, I think, coming out of this game. And exacerbated by the fact that Okuda yet again got burned straight down the sideline by a go route.
Oh, God.
It just continues to happen. He keeps losing his footing. This is what we heard in training camp, and it keeps happening in the games. He keeps, like, getting his hips turned around. It's so confusing. I thought that was, like, one of the things that was notable about him coming out of college is that he was ready to go. Like, he had great footwork, and it's been terrible.
And he seems like whenever he loses a step, he loses all the steps. Like, it's like as soon as that guy's by him, it looks like he's suddenly running in sand and the other guy's just taking off. I don't know what that's about. But, you know, maybe that's the 40 time not being too impressive. Usually these elite guys have that speed to make it up. But you know what? Honestly, everything considered, I will agree. The defense is still not good. But the defense, I think they played respectable and kept that game within striking distance throughout the whole game. If the offense would have just done a goddamn thing. I mean, 20 points is nothing crazy to give up in today's NFL. Like, that's a surmountable score if you have an offense that's doing anything at all. And the offense was just completely inept. So, I mean, the defense is honestly still trending in the right direction overall, if you ask me, whereas the offense is trending in the wrong direction.
Yeah, the defense doesn't look good, but the offense looks pathetic.
Exactly. Just,
you're right, though. The defense did enough to win that game. I mean, to get them in the position to win the game, and the offense could do nothing. So
I'm so disappointed, too, because I was a big fan of what Darren Bevell did last year with this team, and I was holding out hope that we'd see that again out of him this year, and it's just been awful, like especially the deep passing and play action. That we saw so much of that last year. Stafford was immensely successful on play action and deep passes, and that was non-existent in this game besides maybe the 35-yard throw to Hockenson on a play action throw, and then the trick play that the Lions try to run. And then true Lions fashion, it gets called back for illegal formation.
I like that call, though, for that, because they needed some kind of spark, and they had to do something, and they called that play, which was good, but then they screwed it up. But
absolutely.
Otherwise, the play calling was so boring. And the Adrian Peterson thing is, can we agree that thing is over? I mean, he had the one good game against the Bears, but he's done.
Adrian Peterson admitted last week that Swift should have been starting over him for like the past few weeks. I mean, he's self admitted he's playing like shit.
He runs into his own blockers.
Oh yes,
then Swift is out. Fine, but we have Kerryon Johnson. Wasn't he supposed to be one of our star backs? I mean, we drafted him high for that reason too. So why can't we run him? Did he forget how to run this year or something like that? I mean, I don't know.
Yeah,
he doesn't seem to be the same since his knee, but. They also haven't given him like a steady diet of carries in a long time to like see if he what he's like when he gets in a rhythm. Like, they keep giving Peterson every chance in the world to get in a rhythm here with all the carries, and then like finally they gave it to Swift, but let's try giving it to Kerryon now since we know where Peterson's at. And
And they give him like a few carries here and there, but that's not enough to get in a rhythm. Not with our O-line.
Yeah, and this was a Panthers team missing its starting quarterback, their highest paid offense player, Christian McCaffrey. He was out as well. A quarterback that came from the XFL. He's been cut by four NFL teams previously, and PJ Walker. A defense that's starting six rookies, and also one of the worst. This defense was allowing 62% of third downs to be completed. They allowed 42 points to the Chiefs the week before. Bottom five defense in the NFL is Carolina defense and a backup quarterback, and we lost 20-0. It's just so inexplicable. What's going on? So
we are proving to be career makers for opposing quarterbacks. That's what the Lions do.
I just wanted to highlight, Prater missed another field. Just, you know, that trend is continuing for him. He got away with it last week against the Redskins, but now he's back. But I think the most Lions thing or this season, just to cap it off, and we try to drink the blue Kool-Aid here, but the Kool-Aid's clearly run out. It's clear.
Yeah.
But
hard.
At the end of the game, to just a tiny hope of getting the ball back, almost no chance of the game, but you jump off sides twice in a row when the team is clearly trying to draw you off sides was one of the most idiotic things I have seen in a long time.
Yeah,
two
so
offsides in a row. Oh, my God. Yeah. Just absolutely incredible stuff. And just everything that could go wrong and went wrong in this game. So maybe it's all uphill because it can't go any lower. This is the low of the low. This is atrocious in every way possible.
Yeah.
We only got one win more than last season. What are you talking about? This is progress.
That's the whole misleading thing about this. I mean, we got four wins. We're supposedly still in the playoff hunt, but it doesn't feel like it at all. This feels like we're 0-0, but that's what it feels like. We're the Jets here, but
yeah, according to 538, we have a 2% chance to make the playoffs still.
So there's a chance.
There is
a
chance.
There's a chance. Yeah.
Like, think about our record. Just compare our record to like the Vikings. They feel like they're like surging back into the, even if they lost last night, like they feel like they're surging back into the playoff contention. Well, we're like, I don't even know, like fading out is probably, it feels too nice of a way of saying it. Like committing Harry Carey or something, like falling on a damn sword. Like, we are progressing in the worst way possible.
Like, we went skydiving, forgot the parachute.
I don't know. Like,
yeah.
It's like this team, this four-win record we have right now, as bad as that, that's not even a good record, but it doesn't even feel like we deserve that. Like, that's how bad this team feels.
We don't.
Right now.
Two of those should have outright been losses, probably. But anyway.
See, I knew you guys would miss Jim Bob Cooter eventually.
You missed. Oh, you got that,
Jim Bob.
Come on, Bevel's been garbage this year. I'm sorry.
But. He has been. I can't even argue that.
I thought our receiver depth was. We have some decent athletes there, but nobody was getting open. It was ridiculous. I didn't get that.
Yeah.
Receivers have been rough.
You know, that's actually like a couple things, like personnel wise. Like, looks like we probably should have addressed receiver a little bit more. Running back, I'm a little confused why we let go of Huntley now and Ty Johnson. When what do we have after the three guys? Like, who is going to step in without Swift and
Glasgow? Maybe we should have paid him.
Right,
the guy we signed has been terrible.
He got benched. Big V got benched in the second half of this game. Now that could be because his foot injury continues to bother him, but. As you mentioned, the Lions didn't want to pay a premium for a guard, so they let Glasgow go. And now Big V's been playing guard for us the entire time.
Right.
So
typical Lions, isn't it? I mean, it's crazy. Look what the ex-Lions are doing out there in the rest of the NFL. I mean, geez, it's crazy.
Speaking of Ty Johnson making plays.
Yeah, Ty Johnson making plays yesterday. Oh, my God. Fulgham just turns into a superstar in Philly overnight. Ridiculous. Right. I don't know.
Yeah. Although the Fulgham thing, he only ever got an opportunity because the Eagles had five wide receivers injured. And that's how he got on the field. So he must not have been showing a lot in practice to get on the field. So that was just a circumstantial thing.
I'm just frustrated. I'm frustrated. Damn it! I can't take this anymore. I want to see some winning. I want to feel good about this team. Come on.
I know. So I wanted to bring up something else. We can keep going about how bad this game was, but what the next step? barring like a major turnaround for this team, is where does this kind of put Patricia and Quinn? What do we think that both of them are let go by the end of this year? First,
I'm hoping by the end of this week.
Well, that's not going to happen.
But. No, I'm serious though. They need to get a interim coach, and sort of as a tryout. You know, like I say, you know, get our special teams coach in there. Somebody just, it doesn't matter. Get somebody in there. Get these guys out of here, and then start the hunt now. Before everyone else is doing it. And, you know, we have the pick of the litter now, you know, if everyone's out there. So we should start the hunt now. Serious.
Yeah, I think it's once they get eliminated, once they get statistically eliminated from the playoffs, then the Ford family will have sort of lived up to what they said going into the season, playoff appearance, right? Meaningful games in December. As soon as that's off the table, I think they start cleaning house, promote within for an interim coach. Hey, special teams coach. I think he's the guy. Bring him for the time being.
Brayden Combs. Combs.
Bring him in.
Yeah.
Start hunting for a new GM. Get ready to hire a new head coach, you know, as soon as the offseason starts. That's what I would do.
There's another theory I was thinking about, too, you know, the only link to the curse, the Bobby Lane curse that we have, is Muehlbach. He's the only guy who was playing when Bobby Lane was playing. We got to get rid of him. I think that's what's been continuing this curse. We have to.
Might be it.
Muehlbach's got to go. That's my answer.
Yeah. What about that? What about that botch snap? I mean, not by Muehlbach in this game.
Oh,
that was so ridiculous. And then the announcers, they like blamed. There was like two guys lined up there that he had to fumble it. What are you talking about?
That was Spielman, right? Spielman is announcing this game, and he was being pretty critical throughout the game. It was actually kind of nice to see a Lions guy in the booth for this game. Just
Spielman's pretty honest. He's good.
Oh yeah, so he's very honest in this game. He was constantly criticizing the effort of the Lions players throughout the game, saying like, "This is a playoff game. What's going on out here? Someone's got to make a play." But that wasn't Muehlbach, right? That was Ragnow.
No, it was Ragnow.
That was Ragnow. Yeah.
No, but if you look at Muehlbach for the whole season, I mean, he's had, I'd say, at least five or six not such great snaps, you know, punters catching him off the ground and things like that. And, you know, so I think he's, you know, we got
to get
that
kind of game, though, because Ragnow's been pretty good this year and he looked bad. Decker was getting spun around and he's had a great year. And I don't know everything was just out of sync this game. I don't know what the hell was going on.
Yeah. What is that, though? You got to be ready to play in this league. You got to be ready to play.
To me, that's just when these issues seem to be like when you can't pinpoint a source of the problem, then it's the overall system that you're in, right? Like if you can't be like, oh, well, we got a shitty offensive line, terrible personnel, we need to address that, and we're good to go. There's all kinds of issues at every level. To me, that's the coaching, that's the environment. Whatever he's doing, he's not getting these guys to buy in and giving their 100% focus on the field. And I don't know what the hell that is and why. I don't think the losing helps, but, you know, you got to start somewhere. And he has not gotten his foot anywhere with this team. Right. He's like, what identity do we have? The whole thing was like, ooh, we need to, like, tell Slay he's a jagoff so he'll bounce because we need our identity. Like, what identity is that? Sucking and losing a lot? Like
that's like Connor and I were talking about. Like I actually wouldn't mind having Schwartz back. I'm not saying they're going to, but at least with Schwartz, there was an attitude to the team. You know, they would cross the line sometimes, but they had an attitude. They had like a meanness. Right. You know, like there's no real identity to this team right now.
None.
And their confidence. I mean, it's like Stafford is like his confidence is disappearing. Like he's just. I don't know how to explain it. Yeah, he's kind of a shell right now. He's not a good look.
Yeah, especially this game. I don't know. I don't know if it's his hand or what was going on, but
it
seemed like he had good zip on the ball when he did throw it.
But I think it's more the play calling. Much. I think
you can definitely throw the ball far. We saw it on the trick play, so I don't know what the hell.
I don't think
going.
It was his hand. I think it was more the play calling and this.
It's definitely play calling.
Is it that time, guys? Like, if we move on from Quinn and Patricia, is it time to look elsewhere for the new quarterback for this team?
Well, that's what I wanted to go to next, and that was my next question: is if Patricia and Quinn go, what does that mean for the future of Stafford? So before you say that, before we get into whether yes or no, the cap hit for Stafford next year is $33 million, and the year after that, it's $26 million. Now, if the Lions were to trade him, a team would likely take on like a $20 million cap hit. But the trade would have to happen before June 1st. So it's a pretty large cap hit. If the Lions were to trade Stafford, I'm not sure what they would get in return. First of all, do you think it's a very real possibility Stafford is not the quarterback next year for the Lions? A possibility. I'm not asking if you think it should happen, but is it a possibility?
I don't think it's going to happen personally, just because, like you said, the cap hit. I think it's not a smart business move. And despite all we're saying, and despite Stafford having what I would call a down year for Stafford, he's still not the main problem. There's a lot of bigger other problems that we have besides Stafford. So I would say no, I think we'll still have him.
Yeah, I personally think he'll be back, and I like Stafford. You know, I think they can win with him. But if they do bring in a new GM, I'd say let them do what they think they should do. I mean, yes. Personally, I think it's gross negligence that they haven't won with Stafford and not Stafford's fault. I think the Lions have really screwed up with his career. But yeah, whoever comes in, I would let them, assuming they hire somebody competent, but
yeah,
let them decide on that.
Yeah, so even if the Lions managed to trade Stafford next season, he would still cost $19 million against the cap.
That's what, so, I just think business wise, I don't think it's going to happen.
No, not when you're not going to pay $20 million to a guy that's not even on your roster.
Right. So.
I don't know. It depends on what, if they were able to get the kind of trade that could be where you could build a foundation for the future on. I mean, I think it would be a fair argument to say that someone coming into this team feels like Stafford is just not the building block we thought he was. Because, I mean, I agree with Bob. It's been more or less gross negligence by the ownership and, you know, the people higher up on the rung not being able to put a team around Stafford. But I don't know. It just seems like at some point you just got to try something new. And I could see if they could get the right pieces. I have no problem sticking with Stafford. I like Stafford. But if, like, we could, you know, get a couple first-round draft picks to help build the future of this team, it might be worth it.
But, see, the Lions have put in this, like, Patricia – they filled out their roster with Patricia-type players for the last 3 years. So if they let him and Bob Quinn-type players the last 3 years, if they fire both of them – you're looking at it's going to be a tough turnaround. It's a very unique roster for like the Patriot type of way.
Some of these teams do it pretty fast, though. You've seen turnarounds. Yeah. And if they, you know, Miami got rid of a bunch of guys and then they ended up being decent again. I mean, I know the jury's out on them, but they seem to be a team on the rise. You could turn it around fast. And we do have a lot of young talent on our team.
And there's a lot of versatility on the defense. Yeah. It's designed to be versatile. So, I mean, we can play a 4-3 or a 3-4, so whoever comes in would probably just have to add a few key players towards whatever they're leaning towards and be able to go from there. I think we're actually in a good spot to build off of for either.
And say what you want about Quinn, he kept us out of cap hell, and some of these contracts are actually not that unfavorable to the team. So, like you said, Bob, turnaround is very possible, I think, here in a couple of years. So –
we won't have to get a tight end or a cornerback in the top part of the draft in the next few years. So,
is it too early for us to talk about coaching candidates for 2021?
You got someone in mind?
Should that be for a later podcast?
Yeah, well, probably. I'm sure that'll be coming up soon.
But yeah, very soon.
I mean, a name that's really popular is Eric Bieniemy, the Chiefs offensive coordinator, and the work he's done over there. The Panthers offensive coordinator, Joe Brady, is a hot name. Defensive coordinator-wise, you got Dennis Allen of the New Orleans Saints. He was a former head coach for the Raiders. Very weird ownership over there, so I give him the benefit of the doubt because he's made the Saints a top-10 defense every year since he's been over there. Matt Eberflus, the defensive coordinator for the Colts. He's done a really excellent job over there. Todd Bowles, defensive coordinator of the Tampa Bay Bucks. He got let go by the Jets 2 years ago, but look how bad the Jets have been since he left, so maybe he wasn't doing such a bad job over there. If you're looking for college, there's two college coaches. Everybody talks about Lincoln Riley always being a possibility. I don't think he'll be I don't think he would be a Lions candidate because I don't think the Lions ownership would pay him what he needs to be paid to leave college. But the other college coach, if you're looking at colleges, Matt Campbell, an Iowa State head coach. He's been well-regarded in a lot of circles and taken on a couple NFL interviews so far.
And for GM, Theo Epstein.
that would be really unique. That would
he
be
wants
really
to,
unique.
He wants to get into football. He brought does. A World Series to the Cubs. Think
and
about
the Red Sox. And the Red Sox.
And the Red yeah. Sox. Why not a Super Bowl? I think his ego is big enough that he will get it done somehow.
Oh, yeah. If he got the Lions of Super Bowl, he'd be in the Hall of Fame for NFL and MLB.
The Hall of Fame for life.
Actually, a couple more names I just want to throw out there. Don Martindale, the Ravens defensive coordinator, he's been a popular name. Robert Saleh, the defense coordinator for the 49ers. They've had a ton of injuries this year.
Yeah, he was the hot name last year for everybody.
Yeah. And Arthur Smith, the offense coordinator for the Titans. That's a popular name as well that keeps going up the board. Mm. And we'll see him later this year. And then if you were looking for a special teams coach, Dave Taub, special teams coach for Kansas City. He's been around the NFL since Andy Reid was head coach for Philadelphia. And he's been he was special teams coach at Philadelphia. Then he went to the Bears for 8 years where Devin Hester was elite. And then he went back to Kansas City when Reid got hired back in Kansas City. So those are all the top names I've been reading about, at least. You never know with the Lions, but
I'm inclined to think we want a guy who has experience at head coaching. Honestly, we just went.
That's why I think Dennis Allen would be really an interesting hire.
Maybe I think the Jim Schwartz has a nice symmetry to it. You can bring him back. We paid for his early learning curve where he got his feet wet, didn't quite figure it out, but now he's been gone, been successful. Bring him back. Take us the rest of the way there. Let's go.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just think that'd be awesome.
That would be kind of fun, but I don't see that happening at all, personally. That'd be one of the more shocking things that we've seen in a while. I mean, John Gruden did come back to the Raiders, right? But John Gruden also won a Super Bowl, so
yeah,
that's a little different.
I just feel like with our roster, I don't want to bring in some first-timer who's got to figure out and go through more learning curve all over again. as much as say what you want about Caldwell, at least his experience showed is that he didn't really miss a beat when picking up the roster because he had been there before.
Yeah, because young coaches can come in and do it, but I don't trust the Lions to identify that young talent.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You're right. That's the issue right
there. I mean, we've definitely seen Sean McVay have success. Matt LaFleur in Green Bay has success. So it's definitely more than possible. You just got to find the right guy. And like Bob was saying, you identify the right talent.
Exactly.
Right. Did they work for Sean McVay is the question. At least that was the popular trend a couple of years ago. So
that's why GM's probably the bigger thing to do. Mm-hmm. I mean, because I'm assuming if Quinn and Patricia are tied at the hip. So if there's a new GM, you got to get somebody who's good and they could identify coaching.
Maybe someone who's an independent thinker. I don't know. It seems like we get these guys who fit a mold or, you know, they're yes men or so. I don't know what it is, but someone who's
I heard somebody talking about the guy who's the guy who built the Ravens and he retired like a year or two ago.
Ozzie Newsome's
name. Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Well, that would be incredible, but I don't think he's coming out of retirement for work.
I don't think so, but he's really good.
You could totally sell the immortality angle, though. You know, sure, you won it with the Ravens, but who cares? That's like, you know, they're a good team. But this is the Lions. Imagine winning it. That'll be history right there. That'll
make you
immortalized.
That's true.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just frustrating. I don't know what you guys think about the Fords, but I think they could still win with the Fords. I mean, maybe the Fords are the problem, but I don't know.
That's such a rough one to get into because I see that argument online all the time. We won't win until the Fords sell this team, but it's like that's like the least likely thing to happen. Why can't it be like –
just we just have the right people.
It's a useless argument. They're not solving the game. It's just a useless argument.
I mean, all our other arguments are totally useful because leadership listens to us. But when it comes to the ownership,
well, obviously they don't listen to us or the fans or anybody.
This podcast has a direct line. Sheila Fordcamp listens to it on her like a morning jog usually. This podcast. So
yeah. So.
But I mean, with the ownership, the biggest influence they have over what happens on the field, I feel, is how much they pay. You know, talent like a GM to come in there or a head coach. Like the Raiders were able to get John Gruden because Mark Davis was willing to pay him $100 million over 10 years. That's beyond the salary cap, and that's where ownership comes in more. How much money they want to put into everything surrounding what happens on the field.
Don't you realize if they built a winner, I think they would reap huge rewards if they built a winner in Detroit. I mean, I don't know the financials how it all works, but it just seems if they won a Super Bowl in Detroit, it would be just a boon to them financially.
Oh yeah, of course. Of course. We'll have a parade of Fords going down the middle of Detroit.
Yeah. I mean, the Raiders did have that big new stadium they had to fill in Vegas, which I know the Lions don't have that. You know, like.
That's true. That's a good point. man, there's a lot to go on here. We'll still be rooting for a lot. Hopefully they turn this around and go 10-6.
Yeah, you know what? Watch them. They're going to win this week on Thanksgiving. Watch.
Every time it seems Patricia's job is like right on the wire and he's going to be fired, he wins. So
I know. Yeah. And it'll probably be a boring victory too. Like, you know, they'll win like 28-7 or something like that. And it was never in doubt. And it will be sitting there bored of a win. I mean, only the Lions can do that and win it in boring fashion. Like, you know, on those rare occasions when they do win.
But you know how sad it is, as bad as the Lions looked? I'm excited to watch them on Thanksgiving, so I love watching them on Thanksgiving. I'm part of the problem, man. I just keep coming back. I keep coming back.
We all got the sickness, brother.
Isn't that what did they say the definition of insanity is?
Doing the same thing over and over, expecting different results.
Expecting a different result.
Exactly. Exactly.
We're not insane. You're insane.
Oh, boy. Well, I think that's a good place to stop right now. There's not much more to say about what we watched this past Sunday. We'll be back in a couple days with our preview of Thanksgiving as the Lions take on the Texans. So thank you, everybody, for listening. Instagram at Drinking the Boo Kool-Aid. Twitter at Drinking Lions. And everybody just, you know, I don't know. try to have some Kool-Aid. We encourage everybody to drink as much Kool-Aid as possible. We know the well is running dry, but we encourage you to keep trying to fill it up as fast as possible.
Find a new vein somewhere.
Cut it with water. Yeah. Make some more.
But thank you, everybody, for listening. For UJ, Bob, and Rud Dog, a big Z. Last but not least, as always,
go Lions! Forward down the field, a charging team that will not yield. And when the blue and silver wave, stand and cheer the brave. Rock, 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 go hard, win the game. With honor you will keep your fame. Down the field and gain a Lions victory.
Go!
Go Lions!
We did it! All right.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get half gallons of delicious Kroger milk for $1.29 each. Then get flavorful Tyson Natural Boneless Chicken Breasts for $2.49 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.